All right, please stand for the reading of God's word found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. The title of this passage is A Prayer for Spiritual Strength, just so you know what this is a prayer about. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and the length and height and depth and breadth, and to know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. You may be seated. I love Rally Sunday. I know I gave you a snippet of that, but Rally Sunday is the best Sunday. We get a bunch of people coming in, all excited kids, everyone's pumped for Sunday school. We get a big potluck going, maybe the most Lutheran thing you could do. It's awesome, and I love it. I love Rally Sunday, and I love seeing all the excited kids' faces and all the excited parents' faces, like, yeah, take them. It's my favorite. Everyone's happy, it's a great day. It's awesome. I love it, I love it, I love it. What we're talking about, that doesn't have anything to do with my sermon, I just thought you should know that. What we're talking about today, in today's lesson, it's a question I was just kind of thinking of as I was preparing, and I really like simple questions to start off lessons and to get people thinking. And the thing kept popping back into my mind is just what's the problem? And I thought this photo accurately showed what I was thinking. What is the problem? I am amazed that when I texted Pastor Sperry 2 days ago and said, I need a picture of you shrugging for my sermon, there's no questions asked. He just sent the picture. It was pretty awesome. He has a lot of faith in me, and I hope it's well placed. But we'll see. So yeah, that is the question on my heart, and I hope on your guys' hearts today, is just what is the problem in our lives? What is, maybe not the, but a problem? What is a problem in our lives? And today, what we're going to do is we are going to find solutions to problems. That's today's goal. By the end of this sermon, I hope to have led us to a place of solution for the problems in our life. That's the goal, okay? Clear objective. That's what my high school teachers told me. That's what we're going to do today. So, first, if you want to I won't keep that up for the whole time, by the way. That seems distracting. So I'll move on in a little bit, but we're going to savor it for a little while longer because it's awesome. But first, we have to figure out what the problem is. You can't make a solution without a problem. You have to see what the problem is. And I say that, and it sounds simple, but if we look at our lives, most people don't really even try to find the problems. They just make it through the next day. You don't take a step back and say, okay, what are the issues in my life? What needs to get better? What needs to stay the same? And what maybe needs to be less than what it is? What are actual problems in my life? And so what I want you to do in order to start this lesson off on the right foot, I need you to have a problem in your head. I need you all, young and old, to think of an issue in your life, not something that has happened to you or is happening to you, but something that's a problem because of sin, because of your actions. Okay? Something in your life that plagues you, some sin that tempts you, some sin that is a big part of your life, be that selfishness, anger, jealousy, lust, hatred, whatever, even just specific problems. Think of a time where something happened with your family that you didn't like and you were a key part of it, be it young or old, parent or sibling, whatever. Think of a moment in your day, a coworker, a moment that you spent with them, something that was a problem, and we're going to try and find a solution to that problem. Now, I think it seems fair for me to give you what's in my head as my problem. You don't have to tell me your problems because I don't need to know your problems. But so you know what I'm talking about, here's what I'm thinking. For the last week, my problem has been anxiety. I've been very, very anxious this week. And it has very little to do with my work. I've had a lot of personal stuff in my life that doesn't really matter for this, but it matters to me. And it's been kind of plaguing me and it's causing me anxiety. And it's not causing me stress because it's causing me anxiety because it's things in my personal life, in my family, in my all these other areas that I can't control. It's not things that I can just fix. They're just problems. And instead of accepting that they're problems and trusting God, I have turned it into a small twitch on my right eye, and I have decided to hold on to that anxiety so that I feel some control in my life. That's what I'm talking about. And if you want to focus in on one little problem, you talk about the eye twitch. It's a problem, and it's caused by my anxiety, and it's not fun. So that's what's in my head, and I want you all to have something in your head so that every question I ask, you can bounce it off that little thing in your head and say, does that affect that? Maybe. And I want you to do that before we get started today. So if you can't think of a problem, think of a problematic situation, and then what was the problem in that situation? Now, like I said, we're going to move on from this. I have an illustration for you today. And so it doesn't look too familiar. Some of the people in here will know what that illustration is. I've talked about this illustration. If you've been in my youth group, especially middle school, you've seen this illustration. Maybe not so much high school, but I've talked about this illustration because it's honestly one of my favorites. And I want to share it with you today. All right. This is a shark. Okay? Just in case you didn't know. And I apologize for people that are farther in the back. I tried to make it most noticeable against the white, but it is still kind of difficult to see and it's a little bit blurry. But if you can't see what it is, it's a shark divided by three lines and three different parts of the shark. And yes, there's a little part below the fin that's undefined, as Darcy so kindly reminded me, but we're going to forget about that and focus on the three top parts that are all phased off: the fin, the lower part in the middle, and then the bottom part of the shark. Okay? And what we're doing is we're taking that little problem, okay, and we're throwing it on the top, okay? Ooh, I was so excited about this. Up there, I have a laser. How cool is that, huh? I can point with that. I was psyched about that, and I almost forgot. That was crazy. So what we're going to do is we're going to put the sin we see, the problem, the eye twitch, if you will, the anxiety, the whatever is in your life, we're going to throw that on the top, okay? And the reason we're going to do that is because, let's say, you are in a boat on the water somewhere over here or somewhere over there. You're kind of not in the picture, but you're in a raft, a boat, off camera, if you will, and you are just trying not to die on the raft, okay? If you're looking at the ocean, what part of this shark are you going to see? The fin, that's right, because in the ocean, even if it's perfectly clear, if you're looking diagonally, or at least at an angle, you can't see through the ocean. All you can see is the top. Once it gets under you, then you can see straight down, maybe. But if you're looking across water, you can never see what's under the water if you're looking at an angle. All you can see is what's on top. That fin is what you can see, okay? Now, is the fin dangerous? Has a fin really ever hurt anyone? Probably not. I mean, it might have bumped someone. All the fin does is scares you a lot. All the fin does is it terrifies you. We fear fins, okay? We're scared of sharks, but we don't know there's a shark there until we see a fin. That's the scariest part. That's the part of I'm relaxing on a raft and turns into stress. I might die now. It's scary. The top fin of the shark is the scariest part. That's the part that we fear. That's the sin that we see, okay? And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to try and not just focus on the fin, but go deeper, okay? We're going to focus on down here, because that's the scary part. The fin doesn't hurt you, and even this middle part doesn't hurt you as much. The shark's eyes are here, and that's important. It tells it where to go and how to get there, and that's a little more scary because it can get to you. The fin can't go anywhere by itself. The shark needs eyes to see where it's going, okay? The scariest part of the shark, though, is the bottom part. The fin isn't going to eat you. Those teeth might. The teeth are the scary part of the shark. And the belly, the part where you go after you get put into the teeth. Okay? And I don't say this to scare anyone or fear you of shark bites or anything. Okay? Because shark attacks aren't actually that common. But we all are kind of afraid of sharks a little bit, so it's a good illustration. The part that you are the most afraid of is down here. And what we're going to do is we're going to try and take our problems to the bottom level and not just focus on the top part. Because most people spend a lot of their lives just focusing on the top part. Oh, I have trouble lying. I'm going to stop lying. I have trouble swearing. I'll get a swear jar. Okay? Not bad things. Those are decent solutions, but those aren't going to fix the problem. Those are just Band-Aids to a bleed. Okay? What we're going to do today is we're going to go just a little bit deeper. And we're going to go through each layer of our sin, and we're going to figure out what the actual problem is, and then we're going to try and find a solution. So, to get us in the swing of things, if you will, I've got a couple stories just kind of living in my head here of just Bible stories that most of us know that have pretty good examples of people running away or not trusting God or just not being close with God, and it shows. Because believe it or not, the Bible is full of sinful people. Crazy, right? So, if you want, if not, I can just lead you. But if you want, if you have a Bible handy, which you should, it's church. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 10, is where our first story is going to be today. And we're going to go through this story, and we're going to put what we think goes in these three categories. Okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Okay? It's the story of Abram and Sarai. Now, this is before Abram was Abraham, and before Sarai was Sarah. So the same people, just a little bit sooner in the story. Okay? This is fresh off, like, the beginning of chapter 2, that's the call of Abraham. The chapter before that is the Tower of Babel and the those things. So, like, this is the origin story of Abram or Abraham. Okay? This is, like, one of the first stories we hear about him. So, God blesses Abram and says, I'm going to build a nation out of you. I want you to go to the land of Canaan. I want you to make a nation with yourself. Okay? Even though you have no kids, and with you and your wife, I want to make a nation. So he picks up everything, and he starts heading that way, and there's a famine. So what he and his wife, Sarai, do is they go into Egypt. Okay? Here's what happens. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but I'm going to read out of the Bible here. When he was about to enter Egypt, this is verse 11, I skipped verse 10, I apologize. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a beautiful woman in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, and that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. So they entered Egypt, and they did just that. And Pharaoh, the head of the Egyptians, sees that Sarai is very beautiful, and they hear that they're brother and sister, and they take both of them in, and Sarai becomes one of Pharaoh's wives, and Abram gets to sit back on his cozy chair and get a ton of stuff. We read on that he gets camels and sheep and oxen, male donkeys, servants, all this stuff, all this great stuff. Meanwhile, his wife has to be a wife to another person. And I only have one wife, but I can imagine all the other wives and just women in general out there. It's not a super great deal, I would imagine you would agree with me. It's kind of a bum deal for you. If that was the situation between you and your husband or you and your whoever, that would probably bother you a little bit if you had to go be somebody else's wife while he got to sit back and get a bunch of free stuff, okay? And that was the situation in Egypt right now. So, after that, finishing the story, God sends a plague on Pharaoh and his household, and Pharaoh realizes that they're married and not just brother and sister, and Pharaoh says, why'd you lie to me? Take all your stuff and just get out of here. Don't bother me anymore. You've, like, ruined a lot of stuff for no reason. You could have just told me the truth. But he doesn't kill them. He doesn't do anything. He just sends them on their way, okay? And that's the end of the story. And then we move on to more stories with Abram and Lot and Sarai. But if we had to look at this story, what is Abram? What is the shark fin? What's the sin that we saw happen? If you had to put a word to it, what's the sin? Lying. Very good. He lied, okay? He did a bunch of other sins. He was not a good husband. He didn't respect his wife. He didn't protect his wife. He did not follow God's word, and he didn't follow what God would have wanted, but to sum it all up, he lied. And he made a big lie, and because of that lie, a lot of bad things happened. And we see, fun fact, we see future on the disconnect that is made between Sarah and Abraham because of this happening, and the lack of trust that she has for him from this point on, because it's made very apparent that what Abram needs is more important than what Sarah needs, and her protection doesn't mean anything next to his peace of mind, okay? And we see that going further in the book of Genesis. So, we have lying. That's the sin we see, okay? What is the idol under the sin? What's the deeper meat to the problem? Why did he lie? Fear, exactly. He feared death. He was just afraid in general. He feared death. He was selfish. He didn't care about someone he's supposed to care about more than himself, which is what true love is, as we see just in who God is, and he knew that. He feared death, and he let that control him, and he made that an idol over God. Because anything and all an idol is just something you put above God. That's what an idol is. It doesn't have to be something finite like money, okay? An idol is anything you make more important than God. It can be your family. It can be your kids. It can be any good thing that becomes a bad thing once you put it over God. We should fear death. Death is bad. It's okay to fear death a little bit. That's not a wrong thing. But when you put that above God, then it becomes a sin and it becomes an idol. That is the middle of the shark. That's the idol under the sin. Now, getting to the bottom thing, what is the source of the sin? What's the thing that rooted all of this to come up and we see that shark fin? Think about that for a second. What is the source of all this sin? Anybody have a guess? I don't mind a little call and response. Also, I like a little awkward quiet, so I can do this longer than you can, I guarantee it. Idolatry? So, one thing before we go any deeper. Usually there's not just three layers, okay? Sin isn't simple always, okay? Sometimes if you're evaluating your own life, there could be like 15 layers with some offshoots, okay? Life isn't simple and neither is sin. So it's not as simple, usually, in real life application as going, oh, this was the sin we saw, this was the one sin under it, and this is the sin at the bottom. That's not how it always works. Sometimes it's complicated, so it's not just always three layers. But if we're trying to do it in three layers, because we don't have all day, unfortunately, the source of the sin, and this is the source of almost all sin, is he didn't trust God. Abram did not trust God. He didn't trust God to protect him. He didn't trust God to protect his wife. He didn't trust God to protect everyone that was with him. He didn't trust God to keep him alive. Even though in the same chapter, he trusted God enough to pick up everything he had and go somewhere else. He did have faith in God and he trusted God to a point. But when his trust was really tested in his own life and he was faced with a life or death situation, he chose to trust himself over God. And that's the source of the sin. That's the thing that eats us, okay? That's the thing that really gets us. Because there's a whole lot of sin that stems from us not trusting God. That's where it all started for him, okay? So that's one story. Let's move on to another story. I have an idea for a story, but I'm curious. If you think of in the Bible a biblical story where somebody just didn't trust God, what story comes to your mind? Thomas. Ooh, that's such a good one. I didn't even think about that. I like hearing what you guys have to think. Any other ones? Jonah. That's the one I did think of. That's where I was at. Yeah, Thomas is a really good one. Let's go over Jonah a little bit. Most people know this story. Fun fact, if you haven't read through the book of Jonah, I would really recommend it. One of the best Bible studies I ever did was just going over the four chapters of Jonah. It's concise, it's simple, but it's really, really good. There's a lot to learn in Jonah. So, we all know the story of Jonah, but if you don't, Jonah was a prophet, and then his job was to deliver God's word to the places of Israel. He was a prophet sent by God to deliver God's word. And then one time God said, hey, I want you to leave your comfort zone a tiny bit, and I want you to go to a place where they kill Hebrews. I want you to go to a place that's really, really evil and tell them that if they don't turn from their wicked ways, I'm going to have to wipe them off the face of the earth because they're so wicked. Okay? I can't tell you how hard it is not to like quote VeggieTales, the Jonah movie up here. It's really, really difficult. I've already done it twice, but I'm going to try not to do it anymore. And that was his job. And Jonah, who had been a prophet for many years, said, that's a little more intense than I'm comfortable with. How about instead I get a boat to go on the other side of the earth and don't talk to you for a while? That sounds good. So he did that. He got a boat to a place called Tarshish, and he decided he was going to sail away. And then God said, nope, and gave it a really big storm. And then Jonah had to jump overboard because the crew knew that he was wrong. And then a big fish swallowed him and took him all the way to Nineveh, and then he walked into the town and helped save the town for a time. and helped spread God's word, okay? But it took a lot of doing to get him there. So, what was Jonah? I hope I summed that up enough for you. What was Jonah's fin? What was his main sin? The sin that he did, what was that? Rebellion. He ran away from God. Yeah, pretty simple. He directly disobeyed God and didn't do his job that God had given him to do. Okay? It would be like if I was supposed to come out here and preach and you were like, where's Seth? And I'm in my office just playing video games. Be kind of like that, except worse. That would be somebody given a job to do by God, just not doing it. And just saying, nope, that's too scary. I don't want to do it. Too much fear. I don't like it. Okay? And then if we go under, what was the idol under that sin? The top of the shark, just below the fin. What was the thing under that sin that motivated him to run away from God? Fear. Fear motivates us in a lot of negative ways sometimes. Fear isn't always bad, but it does motivate us in negative ways. There's a fear of death, a lot like Abram. He feared death. He feared getting killed by the Ninevites, which very well could have happened if God wasn't protecting him. Okay? And he wanted justice. He wanted really revenge. He didn't really want justice. He wanted revenge for Nineveh. He didn't want to see Nineveh saved. He wanted Nineveh to die. He wanted the last part of God's plan, not the first part where he has to go and tell them about it. Okay? And the source of the sin, again, I'm going to answer for you, he didn't trust God. He didn't trust God's plan. He thought God was wrong to say, no, we need to show mercy to these people. He thought God was out of his mind. God, you don't sound like you anymore. You're starting to like talk about mercy and grace to people that aren't Israelites. That's not you. No, I'm going to run away. He didn't trust God to protect him from the Ninevites if he went. He didn't trust God to get him there. He didn't trust God to help him not be dead. He didn't trust God to be God when he said that, I want to help save the Ninevites. Jonah directly just didn't trust God any step of the way. And the source of both of these sins, I would say, is not trusting God. And I'm pretty confident that whatever sin is plaguing my life and all of our lives, it roots in not trusting God in some way, shape, or form. Because I believe, and this is a working theory I've had, I think I've mentioned it before, in every action, in every moment of your life, you are either doing one of two things. You're either serving God or you're serving yourself. There's one thing that can be God, and the Bible makes that really clear. You can't serve two masters, right? You are either serving God or yourself. That's not a dual role. You're either serving God as your head or you're serving yourself. And you need to figure out which one that is. Whether it's another God, another religion, another whatever, when it comes down to it, when you get to the very source of the sin, the source of it is you are serving yourself other than God, and you don't trust God to be God. And that's the source of whatever sin is plaguing our lives. Because in everything you do, it's either God or yourself. So, here's what we have. We have a problem, whatever that is for you, okay? A specific situation. I yelled at someone. I got too angry. I can't control my anger. I'm too selfish. I steal things. I lie at moments where it doesn't even make sense to lie. I just do it. I don't listen to my parents. I don't respect my teachers. I don't respect the people that are just around because God made them in his image, and you're supposed to respect and that doesn't mean like trust people all the time, but you have to respect other people and you have to not hate other people. And maybe you struggle with lust or you struggle with greed or you struggle with a love for money or all these other things. There's literally millions of different ideas of what sin could be and the sin that you commit and the sin that I commit and whatever it is, whatever's living in your head right now because I asked you to think of it, we have what that sin is. And I hope that you have worked through that and saw, okay, for me, I'm going to work through it myself. Anxiety. I struggle with anxiety. That's my fin. Twitchy eye, remember? Okay? I'm sorry that I'm not pointing over here as much. It's just harder. But I know that the idol under that sin is control. I want to control things in my life. And when I feel out of control, I feel out of control. So I try to control my anxiety and I hold on to maybe some hatred or some anger and I hold on to some bitterness because it helps and that keeps me in my anxiety and then I feel like I can control things and at least that eye twitch means that I'm still in control and that feels kind of good sometimes. Okay? And under that, I know my anxiety, the source of that, I don't trust God. I don't trust God to keep me happy. I don't trust God that he's going to take care of me no matter what, even though he's proven that thousands of times in my life, millions. Okay? I don't trust God all the time. I don't. And I need to get better at that. And so do all of us. We need to know that God is God Every single time that I've ever needed God, he's been there. And even more importantly, every single time I thought I didn't need God, he's still been there. And even despite all that, I still choose actively to not trust God. Because here's another theory I'm working on. The only thing you control in this world is your actions and your reactions. There's nothing else you control. You don't control other people, their thoughts, their desires, their wants, their heart. You don't control other things. You don't control anything. Not fully. You can push a couch, but you can't make a couch move. You don't fully control anything other than what you think, what you say, and what you do. You control you, your actions, and your reactions, and that's all. And any other grasp at control is futile. And that's exactly what both of these people are doing. Abraham's grasping at control. No, I can keep myself alive. I can do that for myself. I'm better at keeping myself alive than God is. God's got a plan, and it's a little crazy. I'm going to do what I think is right. Jonah, I think I know what's better than God. I don't think God would want to talk. I don't think God would want to save those people. Those people are beyond saving. I think I'm going to grab some more control myself and say, I think I'm going another way with this one, God. I'm going to take control of my actions and not give them up to you. And I'm going to do what I want to do. So, you have a problem. We have the idol under the sin. And we have the source of that sin. If that doesn't solve whatever problem there is, I'd love to talk with you afterwards because I'd be really interested. But I think not trusting God pretty much fits every single sin inside of it. Not trusting God with who you are. So, that leaves us with a whole lot of problems and no solution. What's the point if there's no solution? But there is. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point of this book. Solutions. We can make our own problems. I don't need to read the Bible to find more problems. I got enough in my own heart. I don't need to go searching for other people's problems. I have enough of my own. What I need to go searching for is solutions, and that's what God offers. Real solutions and lessons learned. Okay? So, if we have problems, and that stems from a lack of trust in God, and that stems from me putting myself as God, and what God wants is for us to have a relationship with him, which he does, that means the problem must be with my relationship with God. A lack of trust in him, not as good a relationship, makes sense. That's easy to say, however, what's a relationship between two people? It's a relationship between two people. It goes both ways. However, the person on this side is God. And the person on this side is you. Who do you think the problems are coming from? Probably not God. They're probably coming from you. Because God's kind of perfect, and he kind of doesn't make mistakes. Except it's not kind of, it's all the time. He's all the time perfect, and he never makes mistakes. And because of that, that means we are the problem. It means the root of the problem is us. And that makes sense. Okay, I'm still doing okay on time. Just making sure. The root of the problem is us. And that makes sense because sin, all of those have sin in it, that we're talking about sin today, sin's job is to slash between us and God. The thing that sin did in the garden was physically and spiritually separate God and man. God walked among man. Sin came into the world. Can't do that anymore. God can't be around sin. So now you got to be separated. Now, Adam and Eve, you have to leave the garden. And I'm going to make an angel have a fiery sword so you can't get back in. Sin separates us from God. Idolatry separates us from God. So it would make sense that the problem is our separation from God. And the problem is in that relationship. And the problem isn't God, the problem is us. So what is the solution? The solution is to grow in God. Desire to fix that bond. That's how you solve problems. Knowing the problem is a good start, but you have to know the solution. And the solution to problems is to grow, to be rooted in, and to desire a tight-knit, close relationship with God. It's coming to church as a starter and then going the extra mile. And I need this as much as the rest of us do. I am not always great about praying to God when I need to. I'm not always great about doing devotions when I need to. But But that's our job as humans, not as Christians. Our job as humans is to grow with our Creator and try and get closer to Him. Because He never moves. God is the same always. God is always good. He's perfect. Like I said, He's there when I want Him, and He's there when I don't want Him. God doesn't need to come closer to us. We need to stop putting up a hand to Him and come closer and be in that tight relationship with Him. And that's what our Bible verse is about today. I'm going to read it for you again, and then I'm going to read the last part. For this reason, a prayer for spiritual strength, remember? Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, spiritual strength, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. God names everybody, and He knows everything, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Just like this, I'm not a gardener. Rooted and grounded, it starts at the root. If I walk amongst a garden and I see a dead flower, I think it's the flower's fault. I don't think about the root because I'm not a gardener. And I'm sure my wife could differ with that because she's so much smarter and she does outdoor stuff and I don't. But the problem isn't with the flower. The problem is with the root. You need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. That doesn't mean occasionally picking up a Bible. Rooted and grounded means this is me. If you want to define me, you can't do it without God's word. I'm more than just a Christian. I am living with God inside of me. I am reading God's word. I'm more than just going to church. I am walking glory and walking proof that Jesus died for me on the cross. I am rooted and grounded in God's word and grounded in His love, and that I may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height and depth of that love, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Men and women here today, there's a hole in our heart, a hole that is meant to be filled by God. And if we give ourselves the chance, we will fill it with whatever we want. We'll fill it with idolatry. We'll fill it with a trust in ourselves over God. We'll fill it with stealing, with lust, with temptations, with anger, with anxiety, with all these different things. We'll fill it with whatever we can get our hands on closest. You know this as true as I. We'll fill that hole with anything we want. But this says to know and understand the length and the insane length between God's love, and to be filled in fullness of God in that love. And that doesn't happen just by God being God. It's there. It's waiting right there. God doesn't move. All that we need to do is meet Him where He's come to us. And where that is on the cross. We need to meet God at the base of the cross and look up and say, I need you to take control of my life. I need you to fill that hole. I need you to root me. I need you to get rid of those teeth that are so scary. Help me not to just focus on the fin and band-aid the problem and try not to get angry and try not to steal and try not to lust and try not to hate, try not to do whatever you say not to do, God. Help me to actually solve problems by taking out the junk that's inside of me and putting in your words and your love and your light and your hope in my life, and desiring to fill my heart with things that it needs and not the junk that this world offers for free. Help me to have that desire, Lord. I pray that we have that in our hearts today. Amen.